理课堂听 class.com。
Chapter 11 All by Electricity. There were instruments hanging on the wall of his room, as well as in the other rooms of the submarine, showing its location and direction. Nearby were the other instruments, the thermometer, giving the temperature inside the submarine, and a barometer, explaining the pressure within the Nautilus, whether on the surface of the water or in the depths of the ocean.
"And these instruments here,"
he explained,
"are used to control the lights, the warmth within the submarine, and are the most important element of the Nautilus. In short, they are used to control electricity."
"Electricity?" I cried in surprise.
"Yes, sir. I use the chemicals found in seawater to create the electricity. I depend upon the seawater to produce the electricity, and the electricity gives heat, light, motion, and life to the Nautilus."
"But not the air you breathe?"
"Oh, I could easily create the air from separating the chemicals that make up water. But I have no need to, as I often go to the surface of the water, and I have a great deal of air stored, if I am unable to come to the surface quickly."
"It is incredible, Captain."
"We have not finished, Professor Aronnax. You still have not seen the back of the Nautilus."
"At the front of the submarine, I saw the dining room, nearly 15 feet long, separated from the library, which was also 15 feet long. Then came the large sitting room, 30 feet long, which was separated from the captain's room, about 15 feet in length, and mine almost 8 feet long. And last, a room filled with stored air, about 23 feet in length. In total, the front of the submarine was nearly 105 feet long. The doors were all tightly shut, if there was ever a leak in one of the rooms. I followed the captain to the center of the submarine, where we came to an iron ladder. I asked the captain what was on the second level, and was told there was a small boat there. 'What? You have a boat?' I exclaimed in surprise.
'Of course. It's an excellent boat. Used for fishing or for pleasure,'
Captain Nemo replied calmly.
'This boat is attached to the top of the submarine, which can easily separate itself from the rest of the Nautilus, allowing the boat to go to the surface while the submarine remains far below.'
'But how do you get back on board the submarine?'
'I do not come back, Professor Aronnax. The submarine comes to me, as there is an electric wire connected to the boat, and I send a message through the wire when I wish for the Nautilus to come to the surface.'
'Really?' I said, quite astonished. 'Nothing could be simpler.' After passing the stairs leading to the platform, from which we had first entered the submarine, we came to Conseil and Ned's room, nearly 6 feet long, where they were happily eating their breakfast. Then, a door opened into a kitchen 9 feet long. There, I observed that electricity was used for all the cooking and the making of drinking water. Near the kitchen was a bathroom, complete with hot and cold water. Next to the kitchen was a large sleeping room, nearly 16 feet long, with several beds. I then realized there must be a great number of men aboard the Nautilus. Next was the engine room, which had been created by Captain Nemo himself. This room was over 65 feet long, divided into two parts, one for producing electricity, and the other for directing the submarine. I examined the various machines carefully, hoping to fully understand how the submarine worked. The captain then explained in great detail the various machines and each one's purpose. I soon discovered that the maximum speed of the Nautilus was nearly 50 miles an hour. I had several questions to ask, so the captain and I returned to the sitting room to discuss the incredible sea machine in greater detail. Chapter 12. Explanations. A moment after we were settled into the sitting room, the captain showed me a drawing of the Nautilus and began explaining his creation in great detail.
Professor Aronnax, you see here that the submarine is shaped like a cigar with a length of 232 feet and a maximum width of 26 feet. There are two iron coverings, one inside the other. At each end of the submarine are breathable air storage rooms. If I wish for the Nautilus to sink, I simply fill the rooms with enough seawater for it to sink. Do you understand my explanation?
I do. I can understand how the submarine is able to sink. But I still do not know how you are able to go to such depths in the ocean under such great pressure.
If I wish to go to great depths in the ocean, I must sink at a low speed so the passengers are able to get used to the pressure changes. And when I wish to return to the surface, I simply use electricity to empty the storage space that has been filled with water, therefore allowing the Nautilus to rise again. My submarine has a great amount of power, with the use of electricity, which gives life to the submarine. If I wish to travel 5 or 6 miles below the surface, I must move at quite a low speed. We are able to see our path through the glass box, where members of my crew control the direction. This glass is nearly 10 inches thick, able to resist the great pressure deep under the surface of the oceans. The Nautilus's path is lit by a powerful electric light, allowing the Nautilus to see nearly 1/2 mile ahead.
Excellent, Captain. But now I must ask you about the accident with the Canadian ship, the Scotia. Had you intended to damage the ship?
No. That was indeed an accident, sir. I was sailing only 1 fathom below the surface of the water when the two crashed.
Well, now what about the accident with the Abraham Lincoln?
Professor, that ship was attacking me. Therefore, I was forced to defend myself.
Ah, Captain, your Nautilus is certainly incredible.
Yes, Professor. I love it as if it were part of myself. Here, below the ocean's surface, there are no other ships to crash into, no fire to fear, as the submarine is made entirely of iron, and the electricity supplies all our needs. In the depths of the ocean, there is only calm. I can understand this creation perfectly, as I am not only the captain, but also the builder and engineer.
But how were you able to build this Nautilus in secret?
Each part, Professor Aronnax, has come from a different part of the earth. The bottom came from southern France. The iron coverings came from London. The storage spaces came from Sweden. And the measurement instruments came from New York. I had the parts taken to a deserted island where my crew and I met to build the great submarine. When we finished our work, we destroyed everything else we had brought to the island, so no one would know we had been there.
So the cost of this submarine was quite expensive?
Professor Aronnax, the cost of this submarine was nearly 147,500 English pounds, and about 200,000 pounds for the collection of paintings you have seen.
You are rich, then?
Quite rich, sir. I could easily pay off France's debt, but still have a fortune.